Hey, Quang here. I hope you're enjoying the XP Share podcast. If you agree with my takes, you should tell everyone in the Cracked Media Discord. If you disagree, you should go to the Cracked Media Discord and find CJ_Zephyr. And only tell him. Privately. Thank you.
And that's fine.
I'm not fucking wrong. I'm not wrong. It didn't meet the fucking prompt. Hello, internet. Fuck Quang. Put that in your fucking TikTok shorts. You don't need any context for that, Quang. I'm the context. You're wrong and I hate you. When's the next Taskmaster thing coming out? Because I'm stressed out and I don't know what to expect anymore.
I told you it'd be after Evo.
J-Dog, I don't know when fucking Evo is. I'm British.
Fucking, I thought you cared about people.
Yeah, I do. Just not people that go to Evo.
Yeah.
J-Dog, I don't know how it went for you, but when he gave me that fucking task, I was not, like, I was expecting something completely fucking different, and I panicked.
It's so funny.
I fucking panicked.
I can't. This is a long-term project for me. I have to take it at my pace because I have a real 9-to-5 that demands a lot from me, unfortunately. Yeah.
Did Mike do it yet?
Yeah. Your first task is done.
I'm not going to say what it is because for the sake of the continuity of the video.
But I will say, like,
for that thing we had to do, believe it or not, with all the games I had installed, I'd already done most of the good ones.
Wow, I planned it to be that way. It's almost like... You give me an opportunity to torture my friends. I will.
I definitely overthought it, and then I underthought it, and then I was like, fuck, let's do it again. Oh, too late.
Oh, yeah, I did say no. I did. but we'll go over it on the live. There will be a live show. There will be a live show. Where it's going to be will be at a later date once I finalize editing and all that. Yeah. Because I'm editing in between my hands hurting. Guys, I'm old by video game standards.
Was it like 15-year-old games are considered retro, so now it's like any game from 2010 back is considered a
That's
retro
crazy.
Game.
Actually, when you put an actual year.
Yeah. Hey, the original Mass Effect is a retro game, dude.
No, it's not.
Stop it.
It came out like 2008. When did the original Mass Effect come out?
I'm gonna say was a while ago. So I'm not surprised.
Anyway, boys and girls, officially XP Share episode 74. What's up?
Oh, what's up?
I will say, I should. I look disheveled today, and I'm so sorry. I wish I could be cleaner, but I'm a fucking sweat lord.
Man's grinding over here,
dude. I have a 20-page document saved in my Google Docs for matchup information and shit that I'm doing bad. Like, we're going hard for Evo. I'm not even trying to win, which is like crazy. I just want to do well enough. I just need to stay in long enough for me to appear on stream once and for one person to be like, I know that guy.
Can I fuck with you guys for 1 second? I know, J-Dog, you have a topic, but on the conversation of games that become retro, so the date is currently the 7th of June 2026, right? You want to know what game is officially considered retro as of today because it came out on the 7th of June 2011? Infamous 2.
That's crazy.
So the Infamous games.
Wait, so what's considered retro then? So 10, 15 years?
Anything 15 years ago or older.
That's not, bro.
You know what's crazy?
If you're NES talking about, is retro. What?
No, NES is vintage.
That's a bit, yeah, that's not
vintage. I don't know. That's too far.
No, retro is more of an ambiguous term. Vintage does generally, as far as like art pieces and styles and stuff like that, generally hits about 20-ish, starts around 20-ish years, maybe a little bit older than that. Though that might be shortening with how quickly shit changes nowadays. But generally, yeah, you're looking 20, 30 years is the start of it, and the NES falls well in that area.
LA Noire is now retro. Portal 2 is now retro. Dead Space 2 is now retro. Little Big Planet 2 is now retro. If a game ends in 2, it's probably retro now.
But can we? Man, LA Noire.
That's wild, dude.
Do you think that, now looking back at it, do you think LA Noire was actually a good game?
Yes.
Okay. I have a hard time with this one.
Is it bad that I haven't played it?
No,
I think it is definitely long. It's one of Rockstar's more niche ones in terms of like what it is, for sure.
I mean, it's definitely the thing that like defined sandbox games for a while.
Yeah, no, but I think LA Noire is a good game.
To today's standards.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think it would stand up in today's modern audience because it's a slow game and people don't like slow. They like the number go big and go up and loot box and sparklies and ah.
I do like Balatro.
But yeah, but Balatro is the kind of game where I feel like Balatro could come out at any point and it would be game of the year. Like, in any year. Balatro could have come out in 2005 and it would have been fucking game of the year because it's just that fucking good. Right? But there are some games where I don't think they would last in the modern day. I think there are some games that if they came out 20 years ago, they wouldn't be... I don't think Fortnite would be nearly as popular if it came out 15 years ago. I think Fortnite came out at the perfect time where video games were mainstream enough for the kiddies to be into it, but also had been around long enough where some of the older people were still willing to sink stupid amounts of money into it. I think if that comes out in like 2009 through to like 2012, like in the height of microtransactions of bullshit, fuck this. And games aren't quite mainstream enough for, like, everyone to kind of know what it is, then I don't think Fortnite would have done quite as well.
Do you think it would have done well if we actually had a good continuing sequels to both Halo and Call of Duty?
Like, would Fortnite have... Or are you asking if Call of Duty and Halo
would Fortnite still be as big if Halo 4 and let's say Black Ops 3 was actually like consumed by the masses and considered good?
I would argue it might have been bigger, because the thing that made Fortnite fun or like blow up, right? Even if this is not the part that people like playing now, was kind of the one. It was a battle royale. You know, which was relatively new still at that time as like a
full game mode. Like that's what this game is. Like you'd have battle royales as maybe a mini game or a side mode, but a game focused around battle royale. It was one of the first.
But the like big frustrating thing with like PUBG was camping is like a core strategy was pretty powerful in PUBG, so introducing building into that, even though it was an asset for the main game that was supposed to come out, it ended up creating like this very interesting happy little accident of there's a lot of skill expression here while also potentially just having like really quick games. Like it's very easy to have a quick game of Fortnite.
It is when you're bad at it.
Especially if you're on like the older side, don't have a lot of time to play the game.
I think the other thing is Fortnite was PUBG, because Fortnite was successful because of PUBG, and like we need to accept that because Fortnite was PUBG, but
more fun.
I would say more user friendly. Because you look at how PUBG was, and it was, you know, it was going off of that DayZ kind of art style. And so, A, Fortnite is free, and anyone can play it. And B, everyone's playing these big, bright, cartoony characters, so it's easier to see people and hit them with your shots because you know what you're fucking looking at. Whereas you look at PUBG, everything looks the fucking same. It all looks the fucking same. And it's boring.
Speaking of PUBG, y'all know what I figured out earlier last week? They tried creating a fucking survival game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like a DayZ style. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard about that.
Apparently they laid everybody off and just scrapped the project, it sounds like.
That sounds like a thing that you would do in the modern.
Well, I don't know if it was like a layoff thing. I think it was just like I keep forgetting the guy's name from who does PUBG. But he was basically Player like, we can't fund his actual name. He was basically like, we can't fund this anymore. It's something green. I want to say like Bill Green or something like that, but that's not it.
I mean, so to like go back to the original question, I don't think Call of Duty or Halo Battlegrounds had any influence on Fortnite. I think the problem with those games were they started resting on their laurels and then immediately tried to bring in the wrong market, which is the competitive market. I will consistently say that. You got to make a good casual experience first. And then...
What are you talking about? Fortnite or Call of Duty?
Call of Duty and Halo. Well, especially Halo.
What do you mean? Yeah. They've always been competitive.
Yeah, but you shouldn't be... Like, your entire marketing model.
You shouldn't market yourself for the competitive players because that's alienating the majority of your player base, who is going to be a lot more casual.
Yeah. Well, and also people are just like not willing to sweat like as much anymore. Unless they can actually
sweating nowadays, especially just like taking a league, for example, it takes a lot of fucking time and dedication and learning a bunch of shit. And then you're still not even like 10% as good as the fucking next player. And that goes back to the whole, like, everybody just wants shiny loot box, smash in your face, get it done kind of shit nowadays.
I think it's a little less so nowadays, because I think nowadays people do just like hop into the competitive mode just as their standard because people like seeing their number get bigger. But I think if you're looking back like 10 years ago, you know, we're talking about when COD 3 and Halo 4 came out, I think the casual to competitive player ratio was going to be a lot more, like 3/4 of your player base are much more casual and fucking around in Forge mode and doing mini games and shit like that.
Fucking zombies?
Yeah. So I think it's like that's the you got to figure out where is the majority of your player base gonna be on that scale of uber casual to the number one player in the world, and then cater for that. And I think that's a thing that a lot of games nowadays are kind of struggling with. Who the fuck do we cater to?
Yeah, there is this thing that I also feel like makes making new competitive games so much harder is the fact that we don't do couch gaming anymore. Couch gaming makes learning a new competitive game so much easier. Like, when you're getting shit on by your friend, like by fucking Timmy who lives two doors down, that's motivation to get good at a game. Because you're going to see that fucker and you know he's going to bring it up. And you can say no.
But you won't.
Yeah, and you know you won't. But then you also get to, like, sink in hours into casual modes. Like, the game that I probably have the most, or game series that I probably as a kid have the most hours in, is Dragon Ball Budokai, Budokai series. We never played against each other. We just passed the controller for hours. And, you know, backseat gaming the entire, just like screaming, no, 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 you gotta punch, you gotta punch. Like, we're not, all of us aren't just hitting our hands against the square circle buttons. Yeah.
And then occasionally you'll pull off a super cool combo. It's like, how the fuck did I do that?
But you don't, or you're like, oh, I'm so good at the video. Shut up, I'm good at the video game. Look. He's throwing so many energy balls. Yeah. That's the kind of thing that I think that I really do miss out of the old gaming era versus the new gaming era, which is why I think anything from the PS2 prior, since it is a different era, should be considered vintage.
I can see that.
Way to close the loop on that conversation.
Yeah, for real.
Right, J-Dog, you actually came with, like, stuff and things to talk about.
I guess. Oh,
yeah, did you actually want to talk about stuff? Or...
I mean, it it's just a throwaway topic, for lack of a better topic. And we can kind of segue, divert however we want. But a thing I've been noticing recently, especially with the newer live service games, is you get so much, the developers get so much player feedback that they basically have to like split that feedback in two, and then some of these updates that are coming out feels like it's you're literally splitting the fucking player base because you're splitting another decision, like, for this new content that's coming out, right? And it's only, I'm not saying like past games, this is for like newer live service games coming out that I've started to notice. It's like, for example, New World and Marathon, right? New World was very PvP centric when it first came out, right? There was very limited PvP. It was, or PvE. It was supposed to be a PvP game. It was based around the war system. You're taking over territories. You're pushing to, you know, get the territory in your favor or whatever. And then the PvE players started massively complaining. And we all know the PvE community is bigger than the PvP community, especially when it comes to those kind of games. So naturally, they start putting in dungeons, they start putting in PvE content. They finally, as far as I know, put in mounts for New World, rest in peace. So that got through eventually. And so I just feel like, with that example specifically, them focusing on the PvE dungeons to try to satisfy the PvE players made the PvP players leave the fucking game. And then, as the Marathon example, that's going PvE now too, as an extraction shooter. I mean, not full PvE, but they literally come in with Season 2 as a solo drop PvE mode where you fight just NPCs, although you do have the one, like, rooks, they call them, that you literally drop solo, they could go in and try to make it PvP, but Marathon is kind of like Ark Raiders, is shifting towards that PvE focus for an extraction shooter. So it's like, and their numbers are dropping too. So, kind of makes you wonder, like, live service games, developers are trying to get all this feedback, and they get feedback from one side, and the other side doesn't like it. and they end up losing more players than they gain because they changed one massive thing that dictates the trajectory of their game.
You kind of answer your own question with that kind of thing, because for all the players that are happy with the game how it is, they're not going to be submitting feedback because they're happy and they're fine and they want to keep things exactly the way they are. So it's like, whilst the feedback system obviously can be very good, and I think that, like, objectively, like, a feedback system is very important for live service games, because if you're going to be providing that kind of service to people constantly, you know, it's like, we want to make sure we're giving you what you want to pay for. But,
well, I mean, that's kind of what I'm getting at, is the people, like you just said, the people who don't enjoy themselves are the ones providing feedback, and the ones that do enjoy themselves aren't saying anything. But the feedback still gets through, the game just gets changed, and then the people that didn't provide feedback who actually like the game are like, well, what the fuck? Why are you changing this shit? It was good how it was, right?
Well, I'll tell you why. It's because whenever people see a feedback thing, they always feel like they need to put in a negative, right? I want this to change. Whereas, I think if people actually used the feedback system as well, and maybe this is partly because, especially with like early access games or alphas or whatever, like, they're written and designed to be report bugs and stuff. But if you, in your feedback thing, also had an option to talk about the stuff in the game that you really liked, and you were rewarded, let's say, oh, you submit a feedback thingy and you get 250 currency, you know? And that way it's like, you don't, but we do a big thing of like, it doesn't need to be negative. You could put positive stuff in the feedback form too. You might get a more balanced thing. You could actually have a look, right, what's the ratio of positive submissions to negative submissions? Because you can just toggle it, right? Is this a positive feedback submission or a constructive feedback submission? See the ratio of positive to negative. See what all they're talking about. And you can get a better idea of how much of your audience actually likes what you're putting out currently. But the issue is, everyone sees a feedback form and they think, oh, it's got to be, I want to make this change, I want to improve this, because no one likes being happy.
I can't remember if this is like an R&D thing or if this is something I hallucinated one day. But there is like this, it's kind of like the Yelp rule. I don't know how Yelp works in England, but in America, generally the best like restaurants and the places you're going to enjoy the most have like 3.5 stars. Generally, at least that used to be the case. And that's because there's three types of people who will go on Yelp and review anything. The biggest percentage of those are people who had a bad time. The smallest percentage are people who had an exceptionally good time and had to like talk about it. And then there are the people who are chronically on Yelp. Those are the three. And so most of the, you know, places that you enjoy the most generally have like 3.5 stars-ish. And this is where it's like really interesting. For most video games, and this is true during like testing cycles as well, you have a huge R&D team who like really cipher out the data to figure out, like, because they can track what modes players are playing, how much time they're into it on average, on like a daily, weekly, monthly basis, and kind of can come to their own conclusions there. And then if they need to fix something, they look at like player feedback, and that's a combination of like number of people, like they cipher it down into like demographics based off of playtime per game mode, blah blah blah. They have all the stats, right? Which is why it's kind of interesting to see a game studio like Bungie, who probably has a pretty big R&D team, kind of feel like they're following the and it could just be a bunch of loud minorities, but I mean, the player rate going down is definitely something. It's hard to.
Well, if you
people being loud usually means that there's something. A lot of people being loud about your game probably means there's something unfun about the game. But the thing that they're being loud about is probably not the thing that they're actually not having fun about the game, you know?
Yeah. If you watch the Game Awards or what, not the, I keep calling it Game Awards, the Gamer Showcase the other day, bro, the entire chat and Mike, I meant to go watch the State of Play, but Mike told me during the State of Play and again during the showcase, everybody was spamming Destiny 3, Destiny 3, Destiny 3, Destiny. Like, that was the entire chat. There was nothing else.
People love Destiny.
And that it's has just
nothing
like,
to do with Marathon.
That has everything to do with Marathon. What do you mean? It's I firmly believe at the end of the day that they wanted to destroy Destiny 2, right?
Yeah.
They wanted to get rid of it. They wanted to move on. Whether or not that was intended for Destiny 3 is still up in the air. But for a company like Bungie, backed by Sony, to sit there and say that our pivot point is going to be to an extraction shooter genre was probably the dumbest decision, like, that they could have made.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is that it is also is that it's backed by Sony.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be driven by profit. And if they don't feel like the profits are going to get bigger, having that extra hand being like, hey, you know what did really well in the past? Destiny. And it sounds like people are wanting Destiny. And we know that this game isn't Destiny, and for sure wasn't supposed to be Destiny, because if it was, we would have called it Destiny, and so many more people would have played it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they tried to put in Destiny-esque things, as far as the last Cryo Archive boss was basically a Destiny raid boss, essentially, but it's like, you have to balance that for an extraction shooter in a PvP scenario rather than just focusing on the boss fight in a PvE scenario.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I don't know, how do you feel about it, Justin, as the one who plays Marathon sometimes?
As like Marathon as a whole or what they've done with it?
Like current state of the game.
So I still haven't been able to touch much of season 2 because I've literally been on playtests and different early access games. I actually have a list. I'm probably going to upload a lot of stuff to YouTube just to kind of get some of that basically on there, whatever, reviews and shit. But I haven't touched much of season 2. It doesn't really, it's not really calling to me anymore. Apparently there's a new like night map mode to one of the maps, which is supposed to be pretty different. I think it's supposed to have like a new PvE boss. So PvP wise, I want to try that, but the PvE mode I can literally care less about. And the last time I checked, I think you actually have to, you can't even do that mode unless you have a dedicated squad of three. Like, you can't matchmake for it, which is kind of weird in my book. So it's just, ever since they did the quote-unquote spawn change on the one of the first maps, where everybody's more spread out, and it just kind of like, It went from you're guaranteed to get PvP on the first map to like you're lucky if you even see somebody because everybody's just rotating and so far from each other. That for me kind of like killed the whole like, all right, so we went from an actual PvP PvPvE game to more of a walking simulator slash maybe PvP, maybe PvE. Like, I don't know. It's there's a reason the numbers are the way they are. Let's just put it that way.
There are good walking simulators out there. Journey is a great walking simulator. Oh my god, what a game.
It was the one that was Death Stranding walking simulator.
Yeah. I don't know. I do feel like generally for these, not always, but I do feel like generally when these kind of decisions are made, it is like 70% of the people with money's fault. Like that they make these like big swings and changes, right? Because ultimately hunkering down and making the game that you were expecting to make from the first place is usually the right choice. I'm not going to say it's always the right choice. Look at Fortnite, for example.
Well, that's kind of the thing. Like, people, a lot of people, like, generally don't like change, you know? Like, people like consistent things. And then you put that in with the quote-unquote live service model because you want to, you know, you want to keep your game alive. You want to keep it going. But
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of the newer games with the live service model, they just change so much and then people move on.
This game's been out for 3 months. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Why are we changing so much?
Yeah, it hasn't even been out that long, dude.
Like, this game, people really wanted Destiny, and all this PvE want probably is also backed by the fact that Destiny 2 is shutting down. Feels bad.
I'd say, yeah, like that's why everyone was going on about Destiny, is because they've announced that they're stopping work on Destiny a couple of weeks before this big expo thing.
Yeah,
and so it's then like, okay, well, like they've done it for a reason, right? They've done it for a reason, right, guys? Like that they wouldn't just leave because this is the other thing. Gamers have abandonment issues because it's happened to, you know, you've had that game that you really like. Oh, I don't know, maybe you were a really massive fan of The Crew, and then The Crew got fucking taken around the back of the shed and murdered. So people are like, oh no, like you're gonna keep making the game I like, right? Because all I play is Destiny, and I need my content.
You know what the worst part is?
Destiny content.
Those people, I understand. The people who put a lot of time and that's like their main game. It's how I feel about people who put a shit ton of hours into WoW. I understand when they announce, "Hey, we're no longer gonna be supporting this game." It probably feels awful. I also think a lot of them are like, man, Destiny 2, I thought I just like hop on it like once a year. It's crazy that they're stopping this. I really like this game. I only play an hour a year, as most people do. But oh, did he come back? What? I also think that like forcing like pre-mades is kind of weird. Unless there is like a find partner button or like find a third, like you can insert yourself into the random queue.
Yeah, I was like I did the update one night, and I was actually like just to test it out, I was like, sure, I'll go in and try it, because they do have a new shell, a new class, yeah, basically. So I was gonna try that. I was like, what better way to try it than in a PvE mode? And then it was like, oh, you can't jump in solo. I was like, what?
Yeah, like put me in a queue and like have me set up with the duo or something.
Yeah, like why?
If 2XKO, right? League of Legends fighting game has a find a partner button. Marathon can have a find a third button.
I don't know, man. I'm just, that's crazy. Bro, if honestly, if Sand keeps up and actually fixes a lot of their issues, it might be my go-to for a while. But the thing with that one is you also need, you can still, go in solo, but it's like, not like a Sea of Thieves ship solo. It's like, there's so much more to do. It's basically the same concept, but I feel like there's a lot more stuff to repair. There's a lot more micromanaging. There's a lot more, items that you have to like shuffle around and, figure out where the fuck they go, kind of shit like that. So it's just like playing that game solo is not for the weak. That's for damn sure.
I will say, kind of pivoting topics a little bit. So, on top of it, forcing party size, League of Legends is reintroducing ranked fives.
Oh.
Which I think contextually is a little bit different than what's happening in America, because this is a competitive game. It is, you have to queue up as five. There's a separate mode if you don't actually have five people. But they're limiting, because they took it away because people didn't play it that much, and it's expensive to run servers in general. So to save server space, they took it away. They are currently doing it limited, planning to do it limited on weekends. I don't remember what the times are. I feel like something like that might be, it's kind of cool, where you have a dedicated time where you get to do this thing. It's like having a tournament system, basically, where you and your friends can be like, hey, these are the five people. Let's schedule something this day.
Well, man,
we can all show up.
That would actually make sense why there's so many fucking tier 3 League of Legends organizations now.
Yeah. I mean, part of it's also that we're getting League of Legends 2 sometime. I think it's the end of the year this year's, after Worlds.
Interesting. How's that going to work?
They're completely... So, League of Legends, as far as content goes, has been really slow this year. I'm sure you've seen the memes of just how many champions and the blah 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 with League of Legends. Normally they come out with 2 to 3 new champions and do 1 or 2 reworks of old champions that don't really fit the game anymore. This year there has been one. The second one drops, I think, next week, maybe in 2 weeks. And everyone forgot that he was coming out because there's no promotion, because everyone's focused on completely rebuilding the League of Legends client from scratch. And they've been doing that for 2-3 years now.
Interesting.
So that's why we're calling it League of Legends 2, because it also means that hopefully half the bugs in that game get fixed, because a lot of it's tied to the client, and the reason why they can't update it is because everybody's on the client. And so there's going to be a global reset. And I think it's interesting that we are living in a world where we're getting... League of Legends is so old that I'm pretty sure when they built... This is the second time that they've rebuilt the client. Because the first one was in Java.
That makes sense.
And that... This game has been out for so long, they have remade champions and decided that they have to keep the champion in the code because they can't figure out what's breaking. Why things keep breaking when they remove the champion's code.
That's kind of interesting.
On the topic of how old the fucking games are. This game's retro.
When did League of Legends come out? Would that be considered retro now?
Oh yeah, officially God. 2012, I think. Maybe
2012. Next year it becomes retro.
Yeah.
Oh, bro, League of Legends is an awful game.
I disagree.
I think objectively a bad game.
I think that League of Legends will be the last competitive game of its type. Like the RTS top-down style.
Honestly, if I feel like if I actually didn't get, you know, my brain pulled into different games that are coming out, and I actually sunk time to learn League of Legends, I'd probably be playing it a whole lot more.
I think there's a lot of fun to have, especially with there's a lot of casual game modes in League of Legends.
That's the thing. Even in the casual game modes, if you don't understand the character you're playing, you're gonna get shit on.
Well, I'm saying that, like, even if you're like, as long as you like have like that base, like get over that skill floor that you need to like start having fun with the game, which is admittedly high. There's a lot of information that you have to like get through. There's a lot of ways to have fun casually. Like the big friend group that I have that I play League of Legends with, we never play the main game mode as a five. Cause three out of that five man group just doesn't want to do anything like real competitive. And that's fine. Yeah, it's fine. It's fun to just dick around on a call and have nobody on your side of the map blame you for anything. or conversely, blame you for everything. Blame you for literally everything.
It's never in the middle. It's always one of the two.
There's no reason. It's friends. There's nothing reasonable.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I think it's just a weird concept that, again, everybody wants a new game. Everybody wants new shit. When new shit comes out, they chastise the new shit. When things change from the live service shit, they fucking chastise the new shit, even though they ask for the new shit. So it's like, is anybody ever going to be fucking satisfied, or are we just going to criticize the fucking developers that actually create this shit for us and then fucking complain that somebody's trying to sell a game for fucking $70?
I mean, I have been saying this since I joined this podcast, is that gamers don't know what they fucking want. They don't know what they want because we're spoiled for choice. Literally, like,
who's asking for a poker-based card deck builder?
Stop going on about Balatro. Stop going on about Balatro's
great. You know what's even better than Balatro? Slay the Spire 2. What a fucking great game that you can download right now and play.
Oh my god! But like,
if you're interested in choices of new and upcoming deck builders, Packeret is being developed. It's on Steam. The demo's on Steam right now.
We're not being paid to do this.
Like, they're my friends. I will.
Well, they're not my friends.
These games. But you'd like them. You'd like
them. I've heard that game is stinky and it mines your computer to make crypto. I don't know.
Yeah, but the crypto is being donated to save the seals.
The Navy SEALs? Fuck the Navy.
No, the puppy seals.
But like this is, I think this is a side effect and a symptom of the early access era of video games. Try saying that five times fast. You couldn't even get two.
I couldn't ruin your train of thought. I started doing it, I felt bad.
But like, is because of this constant give us feedback, and then that feedback being listened to, we've all become so fucking entitled. And we think that our opinion fucking matters when it doesn't. Newsflash, people on the internet, and I hope this gets turned into a TikTok short, because I'm talking to you specifically. You're not the main character. I'm not the main character. J-Dog, you might be the main. The Quag's not the main character.
He's lying. I am the main character.
You're not the main character. You're not even the main character's favorite side character.
Right? No, I am I'm the main character's least favorite side character because I'm the main character. Like, and I hate myself.
We are so entitled to thinking that our opinion matters when we forget that there are thousands of other people also playing these games. And yes, absolutely, if there is game-breaking gloves, if there bugs, if there's exploits, if there's, you know, all these major issues, absolutely. But like, developers, none of you are listening to this. Make the game you want to make. And if other people don't like it, that's fine. They don't have to buy it. And half the time, these games are free. Like, these are free games a lot of the times. You know, these early access stuff. But, like, make the game you want to make. Don't fucking listen to the people. Because, like, if you think you can make a better balanced video game than all these developers, go and do it. Do it. Toby Fox made Undertale in his fucking basement with a box of scraps. Go make a game. Make a game. Don't, you know, like, I hate people. People are awful.
Not trying to put this out in the world or anything, but that might actually be a strat, you know? Put out the shitty game that you think people want. And then when people complain about what they actually want, quote unquote, you give them that. So you get more sales from the new people coming in that fucking, because they're telling their friends that, oh, this game is changing for what we actually want. And they get extra sales off that, right? And then like, the people who already bought the game are fucking, bye, see ya. We already got your money.
What is like one of the most, like, popular, like notable games of the last decade? Unironically, Untitled Goose Game.
I love that. Right? What a Untitled, shout out.
What a fucking game. And you know what that game is? It's fucking, like, it's a goose just walking around being a fucking menace.
Another great, like, walking simulator. Oh my god.
Like, that's like, just make the game you want to make. You want to make it, like, because this is this, and this kind of goes to the wider thing. Like, we talk about like games change, but also game balance as well. Just like, because I was playing Marvel Rivals earlier because I've gotten back into it. You don't know why I've gotten back into it. I could be a fucking dinosaur. I can be a goddamn fucking dinosaur. I'm fucking dinosaur. I'm walking around and going, ah, I'm kidnapping people and I'm playing fetch and I'm bringing them back to my team and then they kill. Like, is it balanced? Probably not. I've seen a lot of people bitching about it. But like, Marvel Rivals is such a silly game. It's such silly fucking game that, like, you know, you get Black Panther going around faster than the speed of fucking sound, right? Who literally, I can't hit him at all. I don't know how anyone plays that character. You've got more stun and CC in that game than in a flashbang factory. Like, what the hell is going on? We're acting like this game is serious? I'm walking around as a dinosaur attacking Loki whilst I get shot in the ass by a fucking talking shark. This game is not serious, and people need to stop taking themselves so fucking seriously. Just, like, have a bit of whimsy in your lives, guys. Have a little bit of whimsy.
Nobody can enjoy themselves, bro.
There is a little bit of a difference, because, you know, there's, as far as like independent developers, right? Like for Toby Fox and I don't know who made the Goose Game, but for the Goose Game,
Bobby Sheep or something. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I just can't remember. They don't. The problem is that their onus is to themselves, right? So there are a billion people who are making games and maybe three of them have, like, a game that pops off, like The Binding of Isaac or Untitled Goose Game. Others. Which is unfortunate. Right? With these bigger developers like Bungie, anybody under the Microsoft umbrella, they have shareholders to please, and other people who don't really know shit about what's going on, and that always muddies the water. The And on top of all that, I do think that the early access era, the big thing that we lost was quality game testers.
They were gone because of that.
Sure, I guess that's fair. But like, but like, genuinely having like people who have an idea on the pulse of what is fun for people to do, what is bad, instead of just having Joe Schmo times a billion play your early access game, which also because it's early access and it isn't an internal game test, means that they're also less privy to what's going on behind the scenes, so there might be reasons for things being the way they are, and they can't provide actual, like, good quality feedback on those topics. We're just... It's the blind leading the blind, and it is...
If you ever want a full actual opinion on how games are actually, like, if they're actually good or not in early access, go check out the YouTube/JDog. I mean, what?
Fucking self-plug. Goddamn.
Hey, if you guys want to see some shitty wrestling videos, go to my YouTube channel.
Don't go to my YouTube channel.
Don't go to my...
Get away.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, I was being a little bit facetious for the sake of clicks and numbers or whatever, right? Like, I know it's a lot more complicated than it is. And I feel like, yeah, like all three of us kind of play up our opinions a little bit for the sake of clicks, because that's what you have to do. But, like...
Editor, clip that. CJ's being facetious. I am the main character.
No, but no, I was deadly serious about that. No one likes you. But... Like, I do feel like it is issues of gamer entitlement. And this is why I said before the show actually went live, it's like, maybe the world would be better without video games. Because maybe, like, I mean, you know, we'd have a lot of these fuckers who would just shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up. Just learn to shut the fuck up, please.
Bring all back of bowling, 100%. I mean, what? Yeah.
No, actually, no, you know what, that's a fucking shout, you know. But I think the early access era of games, I think there are a lot of benefits to it. I think getting your game out early and, like, being able to make a bit of money to help you finish the game is a good way of
free marketing.
It's free marketing. You know, you don't need to pay for marketing much anymore, because you just say, oh, you make a fucking YouTube video about it. Like, it's free fucking publicity. I think marketing for video games has never been in a better spot than with the amount of content creators that are on all online.
Literally, but get paid for marketing.
But, like, there are people that were trained to be quality assurance. You know, that was, like, their entire... That was their actual job. They were trained to what to look for. They were trained for specific types of games or a broader variety of games or whatever. Like, little Timmy in his basement downloading a fucking $5 early access game and thinking he knows what's best for that game is insane, right? And let's be completely for real, you are insane if you genuinely think... Like, you can have your opinions, absolutely have your opinions, because you're the only person with that opinion. And, like, it's incredible that you have the ability to share that. But also, be aware, when you're giving your feedback, that you can also be positive! Like, I feel like this is the message I'm constantly trying to fucking shoot to the moon on this podcast. Be happy, be positive, be happy, be good, be friendly, be fun, be whimsy, enjoy. Don't go in looking for the bad, because if you go in looking for the bad stuff, then you will ignore the good. Like, there are games that are bugged to high hell. Absolutely, and they are a mess, but you know what, at its core, it's fucking fun. That's what these things are meant to be. These little bits of code on your fucking computer, which I still don't understand how they work. How, like, it's a green bit of plastic and some wires, and it's allowing me to talk to these two idiots who are in a different fucking country, right? I don't understand how it works, but I don't understand how games work, because they are literally ones and zeros that create pictures that move so fast and make noise so fast that you think they're moving. Like, they're just, like, enjoy these things because they're fucking beautiful. And none of them are perfect, apart from Outer Wilds, which is a perfect game. But, like, no other games are perfect. Like, enjoy. Enjoy these things. Be, like, put positive things in a feedback form. Like, for every negative thing, for every negative thing that someone puts in a negative, in a feedback form, I feel like they should also put a positive. Because otherwise these games just start losing their identity, and they all become the same thing. I think it's bigger than just PvP becoming PvE or whatever, because I've been part of that conversation. I'm a Sea of Thieves, veteran, right? I've been part of the fucking PvP versus PvE conversation since before you guys were doing it, before it was cool. Like, I was there since the fucking start, right? And the answer to it is, you need a balance of both. Like, let's be honest, you need a balance of both, because then both fucking parties are happy. But, like, it's just a bigger thing, I think, of just, like, just all these games are becoming the same game. They're all becoming the same game. Apart from Bellatro. Fuck, there you go, Quang.
Another one, once again, Packerette on Steam, wishlist it.
I remember when the QA days were good. Like, I would get invited. There was a third party thing that I worked for a while that would basically invite a bunch of people to, like, a centralized location to actually, like, play an early game and give feedback. And then I remember one interview. I went for Bandai Namco, like, back way in my teens. I was probably still in high school or whatever. These dudes, they had like a poster in each of their elevators or whatever. And one of their questions was like, what did the poster say in the elevator, essentially? And then they asked me to, like, describe a fucking dragon statue on, like, the table without, like, saying it's a fucking dragon, basically. So it's like the criteria was so fucking there, and QA was a thing, and now it's just not anymore.
Yeah, because it was a job. Like, it was a job that you got paid to do, and you did it. Like, because that's kind of the thing. It's like, no one is really getting paid to do these early access things. It's all just kind of having a bit of faith.
I mean,
is great.
In the overlap, right? Because there was a point where, like, both existed, early access and... Early access was just kind of like the post-beta, your open beta, if you will, with a fancier name.
Well, that was the thing. They couldn't... Like, I think there was a law passed or some shit that you couldn't, like, sell an unfinished game, essentially.
Yeah.
So they called it early access instead of beta.
But those were, I think, probably the best days of, like, having, like, a good product on release, where people got to do the open beta and have a good time with that, with a lot of QA cycles prior to that even reaching. But now we get early access alpha builds, and it seems like they're doing zero quality testing. Zero research, barely any development from these big companies. These are the games that we are expected to pay $70 for, which is a lot of money. $60 is a lot of money. $50 is a lot of, like, it's a decent amount of money, and you want to be able to enjoy the games that you purchase.
It's just wild the direction some things are going nowadays.
It's not even
like lack of QA isn't exclusive to the gaming market. Like, it's been an epidemic within society. Like, there is lack of QA in multiple fucking sectors of the world. And
people
it shows
every dollar.
It fucking shows.
It, like, it's one of those things. There's a big thing currently, and oh yeah, the wrestling guy's going to talk about wrestling. But, like, there's a big thing going on in the wrestling industry right now, specifically with the top companies. And it is like the shitification of wrestling. It's what we're currently going through. And shitification is like a real, I wouldn't say scientific, but it's a real like societal thing. Like you can actually look at the systems and how they become shitified. And like I don't want to say that the gaming space is going that way or not going that way. I'm not nearly qualified enough to make that kind of opinion, but like it does make you think with a lot of corners that are being cut on all levels of video games. I think we need to go back to the roots of why the fuck we're all here. Otherwise, it will literally, and again, this is like a scientific thing, just become a big old pile of shit. And we don't want that, because these things are amazing, and this hobby is amazing. But I think people do sometimes forget that the video games, for the vast majority of us, I think it extends to pretty much everyone here, a little bit less so for J-Dog right now, but definitely for me and Quinn, is video games are a hobby. A hobby is a thing that's meant to bring you joy. A hobby is a thing that you're not meant to, like, lose your life. It's meant to be your escape.
I don't know any of those words you just said.
So, have you ever dissociated at work? That's what I play video games for.
Yeah. I play them to forget the incident. But, you know... It's just you need to enjoy that. I'm sorry, the XP share event just popped up in my fucking thing. That's great. Oh shit, God. Guys, the podcast starts soon.
It's starting. It's starting. Wait.
You did hit good go live, right? You hit go live. but yeah, like I think that's just gonna be the thing that I know I've repeated all night, but I will keep saying, just enjoy these things. And when it comes to the feedback. Give good feedback. Give positive feedback. Be happy. Let games be what they want to be. And, you know, if it's not for you, that's fine. Absolutely, sometimes games should have, like, a few different options and variety for the sake of trying to get to as many people as possible. Because that's what it is at the end of the day. It's developers and shareholders trying to get their games in as many people's hands as possible. But you've also got to sometimes accept that not every game is for you, and that's okay, because that's what makes games special. Because when you find the one that is for you, you fall in love with it. That's why Halo was such a big deal for J-Dog. That's why, you know, fighting games and Bellatro were such a big deal for Quang. It's why games like Mass Effect and Outer Wilds and Clair Obscur were such, because they were games made for people like us. And we fucking love them. And now everyone thinks that every game needs to be for everybody. And from an accessibility point of view, I believe everyone should have the ability to play whatever game they want. But that doesn't mean that every game is going to be for you. You should have, excuse me, you should have the ability to play FIFA. That doesn't mean... that you should have the ability to play FIFA. That doesn't mean the developer needs to make FIFA a game that you're going to like. If that makes any sense. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does.
You're doing great, CJ.
I'm actively choking on my own air.
Don't do that.
Yeah, cut to commercial.
There we go. I don't know. It's people just need to find their game and stop trying to make puzzles that don't fit in the canvas try to fit in the canvas.
Yeah. Man, stop trying to put the triangle piece in the square hole.
We're doing talking so good, guys.
Like there's no reason. I don't know. I find it really weird that you know, out of all the games that have come out within the past, like, year to year and a half, 2 years, whatever, the thing I've been enjoying the most is a fucking a Sea of Thieves clone in a fucking sand universe with fucking walkers. Like, bro. Like, it's just, it can be that simplistic. It doesn't have to be fucking complicated. Not everything has to be fucking your game.
No, you know? I had the same thing with Expedition 33, because I am not a JRPG guy. Let me make that very clear. I'm not. I think JRPGs are amazing, but they're also a lot. There's a lot of numbers, and I have a little boy brain that cannot comprehend a number bigger than three, right? But sometimes you stumble on a game and it just fucking captures your heart and soul. And it just is amazing and beautiful. And people, go look for that game. If you haven't found it yet, go look. Because when you find it, when you find that game that you obsess about and you think about on a weekly basis, and yeah, I think both of these guys will get that one game where you wish you could get amnesia so you could play it for the first time again, right? That game. Then it's a beautiful experience, and I think it, you know, instead of trying to make every game what you want it to be, go, you know, instead of trying to turn everybody in your life into your ideal partner, go look for your fucking soulmate. Because it'll be more rewarding to find them than it would have been to try and mold something that isn't into what you want it to be.
He's spitting the truth.
I feel like I'm getting very philosophical for a fucking video game podcast. Like, what the fuck? Someone else
really just rubbing into the single guy that's here. Like,
okay, he'll be happy. No, but for real though, like, if again, everybody's looking for that game. I'm been trying to do a lot of like early access kind of like reviews on the YouTube. But if you really want something quick and easy, we've created a Steam community for Cracked Media with hopefully some more curators besides myself that are just kind of writing those little synopsis of games so you at least like know what you're getting into before you may or may not have to actually purchase it. So if you guys haven't followed that already, Cracked Media on Steam. Go look for the group. But other than that, yeah. You guys got anything else? Episode 74?
I think I said enough.
support me and our sponsored player at Evo. We have my good friend, the GOAT, B-Boy Sonic X, who we are sponsoring to show up, play hard, hopefully win lots.
Hey guys, come say hi at Evo. We don't bite much.
I might bite.
That's just because he's going to be stressed out.
I'm so stressed out. I'm about to go grind another game.
Oh, God.
Well, I have neglected.
I'm going to go jump on my Sandwalker. Probably end this stream and continue an actual one for those who want to check it out. It is a 6-player title if anybody wants to jump on with us. The playtest ends today, but I think the game comes out on Wednesday. But tomorrow, the Engine Fall playtest also starts, so we'll probably be hopping on that as well for anybody interested. But
go play a walking simulator.
I'm going to go decompress because it's midnight.
Oh, God.
Hey. Remember to like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Oh, my God. Did the button just glow? Oh my God.
Look at that. Look at that. No.
Also, happy Pride Month because someone's going to say it.
Happy Pride, episode 74. Ladies and gentlemen, love y'all. Adeuces.
Deuces.
I am the main character. That's what you don't
shut understand. The fuck up, Quag. No one cares. No one gives a fuck. spot.
What do Juice Wayne and Batman have in common? Join the Cracked Media Discord to find out. The answer may not be there, but there are a lot of other cool stuff. I promise.